Grace and peace in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one we worship this holy day and forevermore. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, Luke 24, the wonderful Easter Gospel. Let us pray as we hear the Word of God this day. Risen Lord, be with your church. Open our minds now, open our hearts, open our ears, that we might hear your word and believe your word. Grant us faith. Grant us repentance. Grant us the fullness of the Holy Spirit, for your word is powerful. Your word gives eternal life and forgiveness. Bless the hearing and preaching of it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get right to the point today. It's Easter Sunday. He is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Okay, the sermon's over. Let's move on. You wish, right? Get right down to the point, though. Easter is what? What's this day really mean for you? Why are you here? Easter is what? Well, for many people, Easter is family. The gathering of family, and that is a wonderful gift of God. Enjoy your family. They're all gifts of God. For others, Easter is food, and lots of it. Ham, and more ham, and guess what? Maybe a little more ham. And what about tomorrow? Maybe a little cold leftover ham on the sandwich with cheese and mustard. Sounds pretty good. And then chocolate, and maybe some jelly beans. Yes, food. Family, food, and Easter is fun. Easter egg hunt, maybe the rain will hold off this afternoon, and the kids can enjoy themselves and run and have fun and games. All those are great gifts of God to enjoy this day. But Luke 24 tells us that Easter is a whole lot more than family, food, and fun. Luke 24 says four things I want to go over quickly with you today. It's Easter, it's urgent. We need to hear and believe and go and tell the good news. Luke 24 says Easter is first, and Easter is our future, and Easter is fulfillment, and Easter is for everyone, even you. First of all, Easter is first. It's not second. It's not third. It's first. As you read the story, on what day of the week did Easter occur? On the first day of the week. Not the second day, when the Monday, not the third day, not the fifth day, on the first day of the week, first. And then very early in the morning, at dawn, or even before dawn, the women go to the tomb. So it's the first day of the week, the first thing in the morning. Easter is first, not second or third. The risen Lord and his salvation will take a back seat to nothing and no one. He is King. He is Lord. Whether you want him or not, that's what he is and who he is. He takes a back seat to nothing in our lives. He is our life. He doesn't merely want the corner of my life and I have all the other corners to myself. No. He's not an option for you to consider. Do I want God today or not? Maybe I do, maybe I don't. He's not an option. He's the only option if you want heaven and forgiveness. He is life itself. Everything revolves around him. He is first and foremost, top priority. And do you treat him that way? Or is he honestly way down the list of priorities for me? Repent. God forgives. Is he first? Or is he second? Or maybe to you he's third, fourth, fifth, tenth, 11th, somewhere. I might squeeze him into my schedule. You don't squeeze the Almighty risen God into a schedule. He squeezes you and saves you and says, be mine, and now you work on my schedule. I know the economy is important. You know, jobs and money, it's important. Yes, but today he is risen. He is risen indeed, hallelujah. Don't worry about it. You're already rich because you have the treasure of heaven in Jesus. And God bless you with work also. I know there's wars and rumors of wars in the world. It's a troubled world. And that's important, yes. But today, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And so we have peace with God. Though there be war all around us, there's peace with the Almighty God. There's forgiveness of sins. And that's what counts. And we pray for our world, certainly. And I know that health is important. Many battling health issues. That's important. Certainly it is. But today he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So that takes a back seat. And don't worry so much and be at peace. For you have the resurrection of your body in heaven. You will be eternally healed, if not now, in heaven. So do not be at peace, Christian. God loves us and is with us. I saw a video, probably on YouTube, I guess. Very popular. Many people have seen this. I think it's been on TV, too. Perhaps you've seen it. In this video, this couple goes down in the ocean in a steel cage. And they go down in the ocean in the steel cage, look at great white sharks. And you know what happens? As they are in the ocean with this cage around them and looking at great white sharks, you guys, what happens? A great white shark comes and bam! He busts his head right through the cage. And his head's right there in there with them. He wants a meal. He's of first importance. I'm here. You want to see me? Here I am. I want to eat you. Our God doesn't come as a shark at Easter. He doesn't come as a shark to scare us and terrify us. He comes as a gentle lamb and the living Lord at Easter. And he busts open that tomb, but he wants more. And I pray that through Easter he would bust through this heart, my heart, your heart. He'd bust through that busy schedule, our busy lives, me, what I have to do. May he bust right through that stuff and say, I'm here. I'm your God. What about me? Worship me. Love me. I'm not here to eat you. I'm here to feed you with my body and blood and give you my holy word. I'm here to love you and protect you from all things. What about me? Easter's first. Secondly, Easter's our future. The women come to the tomb, and what's the first thing they see? They see these two men right there by them, standing by them in dazzling apparel. These two men show us our future. They're a great object lesson from God for us all, for these women, for all of us. They're our future. They're Easter application, I like to call them. This is application. God knows that we will ask, well, what's it have to do with me? How's Easter apply to me? Is it bunny rabbits and chocolate and all this stuff? What's it have to do with me? And so God puts these two men that are probably angels, no doubt, right there in dazzling, bright white apparel, clothing. This is who you are and what you will be because I'm alive. Object lesson. Number one, there's forgiveness in our future. They are a picture of forgiveness. Today I'm forgiven because Christ died and rose. And tomorrow I'll be forgiven. And next week I'll be forgiven. And next year I'll be forgiven. Forgiveness is always there for me. That's my future, to be a forgiven child of God. They're angels. You have angels that come down from heaven to earth. Heaven and earth are reconnected. God has reconciled the man. God's no longer angry. God's reconciled. We have peace. That's why angels are there. Back in the Garden of Eden, God put an angel when he kicked Adam and Eve out when they had sinned. You know the story. God put an angel there and he had a frown on his face, no doubt. He frowned. You've sinned. You've done wrong. You're no longer welcome. A flaming sword to scare you away. You cannot come in. God's angry at you. You've sinned. But now because Christ died, Christ rose, Christ paid the penalty of sin, Christ atoned for our sins. Now the angels come smiling, no doubt. They stand right with the women, not a flaming sword anymore. They're with the women telling the good news that he is risen. He is risen indeed, hallelujah. God's reconciled. The door is back open to paradise. Your sins are washed away. That's our future. We don't know what's going to happen in life. Know, though, that you're forgiven every day of your life if you believe. And that matters everything. And secondly, our future is heaven and the resurrection of our bodies. What a great future we have. And these two men in dazzling apparel. Glory! Another translation says they shine like lightning. It's the glory of God, the resurrection of the body. This is you if you believe. Though you die, you will live. You have a new, resurrected, glorious, powerful body. I will rise. I will rise indeed, hallelujah. I guess a lot of you aren't going to rise, are you? Let's stand up and say it. Come on, stretch for a moment during the sermon. Let's hear it, and then you can sit back down. I will rise. I will rise indeed. Hallelujah. Did we get it right? Was that okay, Isaac? It's all right. Sit back down. The sermon's not over. There's a couple more points left. This is application. My future is forgiveness. My future is resurrection in heaven. You know what this year is called? I know we're to April almost now. 2013 has been called by some the year of optimism, the year of hope. And do you know why some call it the year of optimism and hope? This interested me. One guy said, well, it's called the year of optimism and hope because we've had so many bad years, we figure we're due for a good year. Now, how's that for an explanation? We've had so many bad years, bad economy, no one has jobs, all this stuff. So many bad years, we're due for a good year, so we'll call it the year of hope. So I guess we're relying on luck to have a good year. We're just due. Kind of like Tennessee, one year is due to win a football game that really matters, I guess. You know, we're just due to win one. Luck. Probably won't happen this year either, will it? Next year. You know, we Christians are the most optimistic, hopeful people on this earth. We ought to show that. We have optimism, not for the world. They're strained from God. I'm not talking about that. And there's going to be wars and persecution. We're optimistic because of our future. God forgives us. God loves us. We're going to be in heaven. And that great optimism, that great hope of eternal life and the love of God isn't about luck. It's based in the love of God. The love of God who would give his son to die and to rise. Thirdly, Easter's fulfillment. It is the fulfillment of all God's promises. The angels say to the women, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. Jesus had predicted all this. He had said several times clearly and plainly, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill me there. On the third day, I will rise. He said it clearly and plainly. They didn't understand back then, and they didn't get it even here until they hear that he's alive. Jesus promised this. He said it would happen, and now he did it. So his word is fulfilled. His word is true. We can trust him. Someone that predicts they will die and in 3 days rise and then does it, I think we can believe what he has to say. He just might be God, and I should trust his word if he can do that when he says he's going to do it. Wow. And Easter does not only fulfill the words of Jesus in the Gospels. It fulfills the entire Old Testament. From Genesis to Malachi, 39 books, there God promises and promises a Savior. He promises forgiveness, life, salvation. He promises the Christ would die and rise. It's all in there, all over the place. And now on Good Friday and Easter, he fulfills it all. God's fulfilled his promises. God's done everything for you, friend. What more do you want from your God than to die and to rise for your eternal salvation when we all deserve hell? Easter proves Jesus is God. Maybe you don't think he's God, he's God. Easter proves it. And it proves his word is true. Believe it. Ann and I went to the symphony. Oh, a couple weeks. Anybody go to the symphony a couple weeks ago? Tennessee Theater? I guess, Ann, you and I are the only cultured people at First Lutheran. Now, today I'll be a caveman. I'll eat that ham like a caveman. Get out of my way. And I went to Mary Poppins a month ago. Now I went to the Knoxville Symphony. I'm a cultured man, Pat. I mean, you're looking at a cultured man here. But first time, it was marvelous. Any of our players playing the symphony? It was marvelous. I enjoyed it thoroughly. They had a classical guitarist from overseas, world-renowned, playing just incredible. But I learned something that you do at a symphony. You don't talk. You don't whisper. You dare not cough. You hold it. And you don't sneeze at a symphony. And you hardly even breathe at a symphony. You might hear you breathing. You listen. And we were leaving, and Anne, my beloved, said, you know, what's great about a symphony is it's beautiful, but everybody just sits and is quiet and listens. And that's a rare, rare thing for us Americans, to sit and to really listen. And in God's house, dear friend, you have a more beautiful symphony than what was at the Tennessee Theater with wonderful instruments. And they're wonderful today. We thank and praise God for our instrumentalists. We should clap for them now just to thank them. Let's go ahead. Thank them. Marvelous. Incredible. Spectacular. By the way, Will is the tuba player. We didn't have him in the bulletin. We thank him for being here. But here you hear something more marvelous than all that. Your sins are forgiven. You're loved by God, no matter what. You're reconciled to your God. You have eternal life in heaven. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Don't you want to hear that often? Don't you need to hear that often? How much God cares for you and loves you and forgives you? Or are you just too busy with other things? Last of all, Easter is for everyone. Notice the people that are mentioned in the Easter story that get the news first. These are really important people. They're a bunch of nobodies, a bunch of losers of society. You have Mary Magdalene, the woman that was possessed by 7 demons and probably was a prostitute. She hears the news. You have this other Mary, I guess she's called the mother of James here. Other places, the other Mary she's called. You have Joanna mentioned a couple times in the Bible. We don't know a lot about her. And then you have the other women. They're not even named. And then they go tell the 11 apostles, the disciples. And we know they're a bunch of scaredy cats. They're hiding somewhere. Peter denied them 3 times. They all ran away afraid. They're a bunch of nobodies, a bunch of losers. And yet Easter is for them. Easter is for poor, miserable sinners like you and I. Easter is for the whole world. No matter who you are, what you've done, your past, God loves you. God forgives you. God wants you home in His arms. It's for everyone, young, old, in between, everyone who would repent and humble themselves and come into His loving arms. Go tell the good news to everyone as you leave is my final challenge. If you're a Peter, you've denied Him, Easter's for you. He forgives. You're Mary Magdalene, a wretched, wretched past, bad reputation, Easter's for you. God loves you. Believe Him. Be forgiven. You're scared of something like the disciples. You're horrified of something. Maybe you're sick, you're ill, you're going to lose your job. You're just scared today. Easter's for you. Don't be afraid. God is with you in that problem. Now, church, go tell the 7 billion out there, Easter is for them. Go love your neighbor. Go tell the good news, a family member, a neighbor, a coworker. Go tell that Christ is alive and there's forgiveness in His name. I read an article called 20 Things on Your Bucket List that caught my attention. 20 things you have to do before you die. And on this bucket list was your typical things. You got to go scuba diving. That ain't going to be me with great white sharks busting through cages. Not me. You got to go skydiving. This big fat guy's not going to go skydiving from a parachute. I don't trust him. No skydiving for me. You got to drive coast to coast from the east to the west. I'm not going to do that either. Gas is too high. Do something scary. Ride a roller coaster. Climb a mountain. I'm not doing that either. Here's what's on the Christian's bucket list. From here on out, be a Christian. God's called you, washed you. Be a Christian. Love your neighbor. Forgive 70 times 7 times. Do your work well. Whatever God's called you, do it well. Do it cheerfully. Invite others. Tell others. Live as a child of God, children of God. Live as people of the resurrection, people of the resurrection. Live ever confessing and showing that He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Easter is first. Easter is our future. It is fulfillment of all God's promises. Easter is for everyone, you and I. Let's stand and sing.